St. John wrote, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. God is love." How beautiful. Because God is love, God created. And we see his love reflected in creation. God so loved, though, he made us in his image. He gave us a rational soul with intellect and free will, so that we are not forced to worship, but rather we freely choose to love, because love is a gift. God loves us. We have to respond in love. We know Adam and Eve committed that first sin. Sin continued. We know we sin at times too. But God still loves us. So we remember, especially during this Easter season, that God so loved that he gave us his only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. Jesus, true God, the Word of God, entered this world, becoming true man. So in God's love, he elevates our human nature to even something greater through that mystery of the Incarnation. Jesus, in all of his time of public ministry, whether his teachings or his actions, perfectly revealed God's love and God's truth. The climax came, as we just celebrated a few weeks ago, when our Lord offered, out of love, as St. John writes, that expiation for our sins. He is priest, took our sins onto himself. He offered himself as the victim on the altar of the cross to forgive our sins. He rose to give us the hope of everlasting life. So he has conquered, his love has conquered sin, suffering, death, evil itself. How beautiful. God so loves. And even though that's a very quick little synopsis of what we believe, we could make it very personal. And our Lord does in our gospel passage today, which is taken from the Last Supper discourse. So Jesus gathers his apostles around him, and he says, "I call you friends, not slaves. Slaves are under duress. Friends enter into a friendship freely. They choose to love." Jesus says, "A slave doesn't know what his master is about, but you know what I'm about." Here, the word "know" is important, because in Greek, the original text of the gospel, there's a word oida, which means know in the sense of facts, things about a person. But then there's cognosko, which is knowing the person, sharing life with that person. It's a more intimate kind of knowledge. And that's the word our Lord uses here. So he invites us to a friendship that isn't just about knowing him by facts, but knowing by life, sharing our life with him. And then our Lord does say that if you want to remain in my love, keep my commandments. So our Lord is inviting the apostles and us into this intimacy, a divine intimacy with the Holy Trinity. He's inviting us into a holy communion with himself, to share in his divine life. And he offers this really to all who will accept it. Even in our first passage, we hear of how the Gentile, Cornelius, is baptized. And St. Peter says, God shows no impartiality. The grace of God is there. He wants all to share in his love. But again, it's not forced. We aren't slaves. We're called to choose freely, to give love freely, to be that friend of Christ. To do so, though, means that we truly say yes to him. We just don't give lip service, but rather we say yes to everything that is true of Christ, and we say no to everything that is contrary to a Christ-like life. To make it simple, Jesus said in the gospel, "If you love me, if you want to remain in my love, keep my commandments." Think of those commandments. Now we could just look at those basic 10 commandments. The first three are a profound yes to loving God. That commandment number 1, thou shalt not have false gods. 2, thou shalt not take God's name in vain. 3, keep holy the Sabbath. We're saying, yes, God is the number one love of my life, number one priority, for whom I respect above all things, for whom I pray each day, I worship on Sunday, I want to know more. We could summarize it in love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. And then the next 7 makes sense too, because when we say yes to God, we're saying yes also to our neighbor. So 4 is honor your father and your mother. We're saying yes to the love of the family. 5, thou shalt not kill. We say yes that life is sacred from conception to natural death. Every human being has dignity that needs to be respected. 6th commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. We're saying yes to really our responsible love as a person, but also the sanctity of marriage between a man and woman who are united as husband and wife. 7th, thou shalt not steal. We're saying yes to social responsibility, and also that we're going to perform our acts justly. We do what is right for others. 8th commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. We're saying yes to witnessing to the truth. 9 and 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. We're saying yes that we respect other people's possessions and belongings. A profound yes to those commandments. They keep us in their fullest understanding in God's love. They let us live that Christ-like life. They don't enslave us. No, they free us. Keep in mind, it's sin. When we buy the lie and we commit the sin, that's when we become slaves. Think of this image. I was remembering back 50 years ago, of all things, 1968. My family took a trip to California, primary reason to visit my grandma, and then also my uncle and his family, so my mother's relatives. My father did have some business with NASA up and down the coastline and so on. But anyway, so one of our journeys was to start in San Francisco and drive down the coast over a period of about a week. So we left Monterey and started driving to this town called Morro Bay near Hearst Castle. It's scenic Route 1. Some of you may have been on it. But it's a nice, beautiful, scenic, winding road along the ocean. But if you look to the right as you're driving south, there's the fall and there's the ocean. So it's rather frightening at times driving along. Thank God for guardrails. Well, about 3 in the afternoon, the fog started rolling in. It became very dark, very dense. My father had the high beams on, and yet it was very difficult to see what was coming ahead. We were all quiet because he had to concentrate. He's going very slowly, and I was praying in the back seat, go figure. But I was thinking too later on, thank God for the guardrails to keep us safe. Well, think about our life. Christ invites us to a friendship of love. He wants to be in our car of life driving with us. The lights are our faith, the truths of our faith. And those guardrails are the commandments. They keep us safe. Granted, at times in life, in this world, it seems like we're driving through that dense fog. And it's hard to see what is true, what is good, what is real love. But Christ keeps us safe. I can say in my life, especially in college years, that at times there was that fog. Fog because of peer pressure, fog because of what other people were doing, fog because of contrary statements, all this fog. Thank God, those commandments at times kept me from making crashing mistakes. And we have to take this to heart. So our Lord wants us to live that love freely. And when we do, we find freedom. When we look at our world today, immediately we should see how important this is. When we watch the news, for instance, and we see the violent crimes, like the shootings in the high schools and things like that, we have to wonder, what happened to thou shalt not kill? When we hear of all these Hollywood stars, TV stars, television show, talk show hosts, and politicians and athletes commit all kinds of sexual improprieties, we have to wonder, what happened to thou shalt not commit adultery? Or just the schemes of this world. Like recently, you should know that someone created a false email account in my name trying to fish for money. And it wasn't just me. Several pastors in the diocese, several in Washington, all were sort of victims to all this. Be in guard. If you receive an email from me and it doesn't have proper grammar, delete it, because I use proper grammar. So, simple as that. But it happens. But what happened to thou shalt not steal? In a way, it's sort of like our country has kicked Jesus out of the car, turned off the headlights, and taken off the guardrails. James Madison, who was the author of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, said, "We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, and to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." So, my brothers and sisters, our Lord invites us to live in His love and to find a great joy and a great freedom if we allow Him to have a friendship with us and we say that profound yes to Him. We will find that freedom, that joy in this life, and He will see us safely to the kingdom of heaven. May God bless you.